Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts here, Dana Ozpan, here with my friend Chavruta and Gordon. Our daf today, Masechta Bava Metzia, daf Men Gimel, page 43. Well, this is going to be our last full daf of Perek HaMafkid. We're going to have a few Mishnayos. We have three Mishnayos left for the Perek that are going to continue to discuss different cases where an object is left with a shomer. Our first Mishnah is going to deal with money that's left with a shomer. And it reads as follows: Hamafkid ma'ot etzel shulchani. So somebody deposits money with a money changer. Im sirurin, if the money is tied in a bundle, lo yishtamesh behem, the money changer cannot use it. Lefichach im avdu eino chayav b'achriyotan. Therefore, if the money gets lost, he's not liable to pay the owner for it because he's basically like a shomer chinam. He's like a free, unpaid shomer, since he can't use the money at all. Mutarin, if the money is loose, yishtamesh b'hem, he can actually use the money. Lefichach im avdu, therefore, if the money is lost, chayav b'achriyotan, then he has to pay the owner, because by being allowed to use the money, he's like a shomer schar, he's like a paid custodian, or he's like a borrower, and therefore he is responsible if something were to happen to it. Etzel baal bayit, if somebody leaves money with a private person, bein suurin, bein mutarin, whether the money is tied up or it's loose, lo yishtamesh bahen, the baal habayit, right, this private person is not actually allowed to use it. And the reason for that is, right, is that, you know, the money changer can use the loose money that's given to him, even the money didn't, the owner didn't give him permission, because there's sort of an assumption that if you're giving money to a money changer, right, the idea is that the money changer is constantly using whatever money he has and may actually use it. And if he didn't want his money to be used, then he would have to explicitly say that to the money changer. So that's why the money changer sort of has a, you know, different status than the baal habayit. Lefichach im avdu, right, because the baal habayit, getting back to our case, is not allowed to use that money, whether it's tied in a bundle or whether it's loose, eino chayav b'achriyotan, he's not liable to the owner for it if it were to get lost. Now that we've made a distinction between a money changer, shulchani, and a baal habayit, now we talk about the storekeeper, chenvanin, right? A storekeeper, kebaal habayit, is like a private, you know, person. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Meir, chenvani kishulchani. A storekeeper is actually like a money changer. So the Gemara is going to start by, you know, raising an issue it has with the Mishnah that a money changer who's given tied up money is not allowed to use it, right? Because remember, we just explained before that the assumption is if you give it to a money changer, of course it's going to be used. Mishum titzurin lo yishtamesh behem. Why can't he use it if it was tied up? What difference does it make if the money is tied up or it's loose, right? If the money changer can use the money that's not tied up, he should be allowed to use tied up money as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Asi said in the name of Rav Yehuda, Bitsurim v'chatumin shanu, right? It's in reference to a bundle of money that's not only tied up, but also is sealed. Because if it's sealed, then it's very clear that the owner did not actually want him to use the money. Rav Mari says, Bekesher mishuna, right? The Mishnah is talking about a case where the bundle of money was tied with an unusual knot. Eka Damri, others say, what did Rav Mari really say? Bala Rav Mari, right? Rav Mari asked a question, Kesher mishuna mai. What's the status of a bundle of money tied with a unusual knot? Is that considered to be enough of a sign that the owner didn't want it to be used? Teku, and the Gemara says teku. It's not clear, you know, what the answer to that would be. And basically from here, the Gemara is going to go through little bits and pieces, trying to explain a little bit more why the money changer would be liable or isn't going to be liable, what is considered an unavoidable accident, like what's something that's considered to be unavoidable. And that's essentially what this passage is going to talk about. So I'll move on now to the next Mishnah, and then Ann, you'll do the Gemara that's on it. So this Mishnah is now going to talk about a shomer who takes a deposit, misappropriates it, and then destroys it or sells it sometime later. And the question then becomes, when the shomer needs to give the owner payment for the item that was lost, okay? For payment for the item that was destroyed. What happens if that item had a change in value? So in other words, let's say you left, a pound of apples with somebody, and at the time it was worth $10. The shomer, destroyed those apples, ate those apples or something. And then when it came time to have to pay the owner back, the pound of apples is actually worth $15, okay? So it becomes a question, how much does the shomer actually owe the owner? Is it at the time that the deposit was left with him, that value? Or is it the value from when he has to pay the money? Hashaleach yad b'pikadon. So if a shomer misappropriates a deposit, right, later destroys it, Beit Shammai omrim, Beit Shammai says, yilakeh b'chaser u'b'yater. The shomer suffers the loss whether it is decreased or increased in value. In other words, he always pays the greater amount. So in other words, if the value decreased after it was destroyed, he pays what the deposit was worth when it was misappropriated. If the value increased, he pays the value for what it was when it was destroyed. Beit Hillel disagrees with this. Beit Hillel omrim b'sha'at hotza'ah. He pays according to the value of the deposit at the time of its removal. The Gemara is going to explain this later on. And Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Bishat Hatvia. He pays according to the value of the deposit at the time of the claim, right? When the shomer would appear in court and would actually be sentenced to pay. So we have actually a three-way machlok. It's a little bit unusual to have Rabbi Akiva in here because we know Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, are the last of the zugot. They're sort of pre-Tanaitic. And, Rabbi Akiva is a third generation Tana. So this is a few generations later. But yet we see here in the Mishnah that there's a three-man machloka. So I kind of just want to point that out, that from a chronology point of view, it's interesting to see the three of them put together in one Mishnah. That's not usual for the structure of a Mishnah. And I'm going to hand the Gemara off to you.
Thanks, Yadina. I'm going to start right in on the Gemara. I'm a rabba. Hi, man, de gazal chavita de chamer michavre. So the case is we have a person who stole a barrel of wine from another person. Meikara shav yezuza, at the beginning, from the time of the theft, it was worth one zuz, one dinar. Hashta shavya arba. Now, at the time of the repayment, it's going to be worth four dinar. Now, tavara oshtaya shatya. If the thief either broke the barrel, so the wine is gone, or drank it, so the wine is gone, mishalema arba'a, right? Meaning he has to pay the four that it's worth now, even though it was only worth one at the time that he stole it, because he doesn't have it anymore, so he can't revert to that original price. And itbar mimela, but if it broke by itself, meaning it was an accident, not that he somehow broke it with intent or whatever, if he's not going to be blamed for it, then mishalim zuza, then he can go back and pay what it was originally worth. He still obviously has to pay for the thing that he stole. The question is, does he have to pay for the increase? So the Gemara explains, my Tama, right, why this is, what's the difference, what is the reason for the difference? Kevan de'i'ita hadra lamara ba'ena, ha'hi sha'ata de'kashati le'i, o de'katavar le'i kagaz al-minei. So the difference is that if the barrel were intact, right, then when what he's giving back to the owner is really the original same barrel that he took. And so then there's no reason to start worrying about any increase or decrease in value, right, because it's the same thing that he took, so that's exactly the item that he's giving back, right? But once you have to try to calculate how much it costs, right, the value of the item, that's exactly where it gets tricky, because if he broke it or if he drank it, right, I love this example, maybe he just drank the wine, then at the time that he drank it or the time that he broke it, that should be theoretically the moment that you should figure out what it is, what the value was of how much he stole. Now, the Gemara here goes back to talk about, we knew this case from Baba Kama, right, that we pay, that all robbers, right, what's the rule? Kol ha-gazlani mishalmin kishat ha-gzela. All robbers pay what the value was at the time of the theft. But in this case, it gets them a little bit more complicated because of the breaking and or potentially the drinking. However, if it broke by itself, itabar mimela mishalem zuza, then he only has to pay one dinar. Why? right? Because again, that goes, it says if he's going back to the time that he was the robber, and he hasn't done anything to the barrel, it broke of its own accord. However, whatever that means. Okay. I'm going to jump down now on Amud Bet, like jumping down Amud Bet to where it says Rabbi Akiva Omer Kishat Hatzvi'a. The Rabbi Akiva says you pay in accord to the value at the time of the claim, which as you pointed out, is unusual to be present here in the Mishnah. It's unusual. It's a different kind of approach to begin with, that the thief should pay not what the something values is evaluated to be at the time of the theft, but at the time of the claim. So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halachic Rabbi Akiva. Not only does Rabbi Akiva say this, according to Rabbi Yehuda, says that Shmuel says, this is the psak, this is how we handle things. You pay it what the value is at the time of the return. Omoda Rabbi Akiva, or at the time of the claim, rather, let's be precise. Omoda Rabbi Akiva b'makom sheyesh edim. So Rabbi Akiva says, however, if you're talking about a time of witnesses, and witnesses, where you have witnesses to the mishandling by the person who is responsible now, right? Then in that case, you could figure out what the thing is worth at the time of the mishandling, as opposed to saying all the way to the time of the claim. My Tama, so what's the reason for that? The Amarkra Lasher Hulo Yitinenu B'yom Ashmato. Because the verse, and this verse appears in Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 5, that when somebody mishandles this kind of deposit, then we say, you know, to that person, he should give it on the day of his being guilty. And then, kevan de'ika edim, once you've got witnesses, mehau shata hu de'ichayev le'ashama, from that moment when they saw him, well, that's how he became guilty. So you don't have to figure it out. Like later down the road, you determine that he's guilty. No, there were witnesses, you know, at the exact moment. Amar le Rav Hushaya, le Rav Yehuda. So Rav Hushaya says to Rav Yehuda, Rebbe, atah omer kein? Meaning, what do you say, Rabbi Yehuda? What do you say about this case? Hachi amai Rabbi Asi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Chaluk haya Rabbi Akiva afilu b'makom sheyesh edim. So he says, this is what Rav Asi says, that Rav Yochanan says that Rabbi Akiva disagreed even in the case of witnesses, meaning witnesses to this kind of mishandling. The Amar Kra Lasher Hu Lo Yitzenu B'Yom Ashmato. Because, again, we've got this verse, namely, to the person who it pertains, he's going to give it on the day of his being guilty. Uveidina Hu Dekamachai Ve'Lo Ashma. And it's the court, meaning not the witnesses, that makes him guilty, but the court has to give a verdict that this person is guilty in order to establish he's going to pay for the guilt. So, you know, it seems then, according to that interpretation, that Rabbi Akiva's position of paying at the time of claim is upheld, not at the time of witnessing the wrongdoing. Amar le Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Abba bar Papa. So Rabbi Zera says to Rabbi Abba bar Papa, Ki azalt lahatam akif asulama d'tsur. When you go, it just says there, right? When you go there to Israel, to the land of Israel, take the akif, the roundabout route, go to the ladder of Tsur, of Tyre, the T-Y-R-E, right? This is a place. Nowadays, it would be in the Lebanon area, I suppose. V'ul agabe de Reb Yaakov bar Idi. And go find Reb Yaakov bar Idi and ask him, uvay minei ish mia lei le Reb Yochanan halacha k'Reb Akiva o ein halacha k'Reb Akiva. Go find out whether Reb Yaakov bar Idi says that this halacha we paskin like Reb Akiva or not like Reb Akiva. So he does this. Amar lei, hachi amar Reb Yochanan halacha k'Reb Akiva leolam. And Reb Yochanan says halacha is always in accord with the opinion of Reb Akiva. So, okay, so that's the answer to here, right? That's the answer to this case, because it's going to be always. The Gemara, of course, then goes on to say, Ma'ali Olam. What does that mean, always? Always, nobody ever paskins against Rabbi Akiva. We know that there are instances of other psak. Amar Rabbi Ashi, Shalo Tomar Hani Mile, Hecha Deleika Edim, Aval Hecha Deika Edim Lo. So Rav Ashi says that Rabbi Yochanan's talking about it this way as a, you know, a broad statement, so that you don't come to say that this halacha only applies when you have no witnesses. But in the case of witnesses, no payment would be calculated at the time of the witnessing, right? Of the witnessing of the mishandling. Maybe you would say that. So the whole point here is to say, no, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that it's not at the time of the mishandling, that it's at the time of the claim for every case. Okay, I'm going to stop here. We're going to finish the last Mishnah on this daf with 44, our next page tomorrow. And then we're going to dive right in to the next chapter. So that's our daf discussion for the day. Thank you for joining us. Rank us, review us where you get your podcast. Come talk to us on our Facebook page and tell us what you think of this daf. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. And until tomorrow, go and learn.